Well, a very good morning. Welcome. C3 Powerhouse, Melbourne East. We love you guys. So glad that you're joining with us. Love what's happening in Melbourne. The last 10 weeks, I've been chatting with Pastor Dan and Ebony. We're just at consistently high numbers. It's the highest winter that we've ever had in C3 Powerhouse, Melbourne East, and lots of people turning up. Lots of new people are joining our church. So we love you guys. Welcome to every one of you. So glad that you're part of our church, and really looking forward to sharing today, week two, in a three-week series, all right? We're doing a three-week series called Unfiltered, which doesn't mean I'm just going to say whatever the heck I want, just to be clear, all right? Unfiltered. This is about building authentic relationships. So, Melbourne, you can grab your seat. Band, you can grab your seat. Melbourne Band, you can grab your seat. And we're going to look at this topic about how to build authentic relationships. Who heard Nikki Dent last week? Give me a wave. She was awesome. She was unfiltered, and it was awesome. So highly recommend. Oh my gosh, I highly recommend. I felt for Dan Frecker when the preach just finished like that in a moment, and then we handed back to Dan in Melbourne. I'm like, I don't know what you're going to do there, but I'm sure it was awesome. And then we had ministry here. So well done, Dan. Live ready. So today, we're not doing part two of the sex thing, so, you know, that's all good. I'm actually going to move into a different zone around relationships. I'm actually going to talk today about emotional health. Emotional health, all right. Mother Teresa said the greatest poverty on planet Earth is the poverty of loneliness. And she's seen poverty, right? She saw poverty in her lifetime, but the greatest poverty is the most terrible poverty is loneliness. And so Jesus came to help us not live loneliness. You're not designed to live life alone. In the Bible, when God created Adam and Adam had fellowship with God on a regular basis, very close, totally unfiltered, face to face. And then God actually said, it's not good that you're alone. And he had God. So from there, he went and created a woman, and from there, the humanity began. So it's not good for you and I to be alone. We need one another. And one of the keys to building healthy relationships, whether it's friendships, whether it's relationships for spouses, whether it's relationships with our children, whether it's relationships with parents or grandparents, is being an emotionally healthy person. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about this, and I'm going to kick off by giving you 12 signs that you're an emotionally healthy person. 12 signs, all right. I will post this on Instagram a little bit later on, but I don't have things for the screen. You just have to take them. Can I just declare the next 12 points an elbow-free zone? All right, can I just say right now that if you think that applies to the person sitting beside you, just please don't elbow them. Just let the Holy Spirit do his work. I know you like to be his helper, but you don't need to do that. All right, so here we go. First sign that we are emotionally healthy. Are you ready for it? We celebrate others' success with genuine joy. Okay, we love to celebrate other people's success because we're emotionally healthy. The second sign is we live free from comparison, content in who we are. That's another emotionally healthy sign. Number three, we receive constructive feedback with humility and openness. All right, it's definitely getting quieter in here. Okay, it started out great with other people's success, but now you're talking about feedback. What's this all about? No, we can't. If you're emotionally healthy, you can receive good feedback, okay? All right, we're doing good. Number four, we know how to stop working and rest without guilt. Now, that's for all the workaholics in the room, all right? By the end of this, no one's going to be spared, okay? I've got about five or six of these at tick list for me, all right? We know how to stop working and rest without guilt, all right? Number five. Oh, okay. This is for all of those of us who have been kicked under the table. You'll know what I mean when I say this. We are emotionally present and listen deeply to others. Hi, babe. Love you. You're awesome. All right. Number six. We are able to receive compliments with gratitude instead of deflection. If you're emotionally healthy, you can receive someone's compliment. You don't have to diminish it. Don't have to deflect it. Number seven, how are we doing so far? We're doing all right? Number seven. Okay, we can be alone with our thoughts and find peace there. If we're emotionally healthy, we don't need a device. We actually can be alone with our thoughts and not need to drown our thoughts out. That's a sign of emotional health. Number eight, Melbourne, we're doing okay here this morning. I'm not targeting at anybody here. We speak words when we're emotionally healthy that build others up instead of tearing them down. We're a people builder when we're emotionally healthy. When we're insecure, we try to pull people down to our own perception of ourselves. That's not emotionally healthy. All right. Number nine. Okay. For all the people pleasers, we set healthy boundaries and can say no when needed. Emotional healthy people know how to say no when it's okay to say no. Number 10, we're doing okay. Emotionally healthy people are honest about our own struggles and embrace vulnerability. The V word. Oh, Pastor Josh, you love that word, don't you? Vulnerability. We're honest about our own struggles and we embrace vulnerability. Now, we don't need to post about them all the time on Facebook. That's a different point. But okay, that's another point. We have a safe circle. Sorry. I'm not on Facebook, so I'm not attacking anybody right now. Number 11, we take responsibility for our own mistakes instead of blaming others. It's never my fault. It's always somebody else's. We take responsibility. Everybody say responsibility for our mistakes. I feel like the Fonz, our mistakes. Some of you don't even know who the Fonz is. Give me a wave if you don't know who the Fonz is. Oh my gosh, so sad. So sad. All right, Melbourne, surely help me out. Ask John Owen later on, or Woz, who the Fonz is. They will help you out. All right, number... Thank you so much. I'm getting some haze. All right, number 12, here we go. This is for the perfectionists. We can celebrate progress, not just perfection. All right, 12 signs of emotionally healthy people. There's a whole stack more, but that's to kick us off. Does anyone recognize some growth areas in your life, not your partner's life, in your life right now? Okay, there's a few there that I would say I'm a work in progress in a number of those areas. And I'll share a little bit about that as we grow. So emotional health is about the overflow of what's in our heart. What's in our heart. When Jesus was described the coming Christ in Isaiah 61, it was described that he would preach good news, that's that our sins could be forgiven, we could be connected with God, go to heaven. And then the next marker of Jesus' life is that he would heal up the brokenhearted. So part of the ministry of Jesus to every Christian, to every person who's made him Lord and Savior, is he's in the business of healing our heart, which is another way of saying he's in the business of getting us emotionally healthy. That's what Jesus is about doing. Years ago, and if you've been around, you've heard me tell this story, but years ago, one of my jobs in the home is to put the wheelie bins on the road. Come on, fellas, help me out. All right, put the wheelie bins on the road. And so one particular time I missed it. Okay, I missed it. I know, self-recognized I missed it. Again, sorry, honey, I missed it. And so thinking I was doing the right thing, we didn't live too far from the dump or the tip or the rubbish tip. And so Danny Hell had an SUV. And so like a car, like a long back seat in her car. And so me thinking I was doing the right thing, okay, well-intentioned, I got the wheelie bin, which was 3/4 full, and it was pretty smelly, and it had all those juices in the bottom of it that just was, you know, and I put it in the back of her car, and as I put it in her car, it was tilted down. It's like, this is fine, okay. So then the tip wasn't too far. I don't think I masked it up. I might have, maybe. It's been a long time ago. Probably didn't. Anyway, as I went to the tip, I didn't realize that some of the road was downhill. And as we went downhill and around some corners, you know what happened? What was in the wheelie bin overflowed. And that those juices, oh my gosh, Melbourne, those juices overflowed into the back carpeted area of her of the SUV in the boot. And I, as I got it out, I noticed this little dark patch. I thought, that can't be good, but surely I can fix this. And I would say weeks of trying to clean it with everything you can clean it with, professional cleaners or not, I could never get this, that smell out of the car. Every time, and if you parked the car in the sun would hit the car. And every time, it was like a beautiful reminder of one of the fruits of the Spirit for my wife called long-suffering. You know, when you know, I would regularly give her the scripture, which would go something like this: we take no accounts of others' wrongs, okay? That's what love is. Anyway, and after a while, I thought it disappeared. I could still smell it every time I hopped in it. She didn't say anything about it. She's beautiful like that. And I thought, oh, she'd forgotten about it until we got rid of the car. We sold the car, not to anyone in church, just to be really clear. We sold it and she's like, you know, I could smell it all the way through. The point of the story is this: what's inside of you will overflow. It doesn't matter if you think it won't, it will. What's in your heart will flow out. So if your heart's carrying bitterness, it will flow out. If your heart's carrying insecurity, it will flow out. If your heart's jealous, it will flow out. If your heart is judgmental, it will flow out. So for you and I to be emotionally healthy, we need to focus on our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says it exactly like this: keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Your life is not a result of what's happening to you. Your life is a result of what's flowing out of your heart. And so often we can spend time in the victim zone going, well, if that didn't happen, if that didn't happen, and this is going on in my life, and it's all sucks, and it's all terrible, and I'm the victim, but that's not the right way to approach life, because you can have a joy-filled life regardless of perfect circumstances. In fact, we'll never have them if we pay attention to our heart. Your heart, the springs of life, there's an overflow out of our heart that's affecting us. Proverbs 4 verse, I know, Luke chapter 6 verse 45, Jesus says it like this: a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. Now, you know, and sometimes we live in a society that's so geared to how we look, what you wear. Are you wearing the latest trendy T-shirt, latest trendy polo? Are you wearing the nicest shoes? And that they're all external things. But at the end of the day, the external things is not what makes our life great. It's what's going on in our heart. And Jesus, what did he say? What you say. So what we're saying, and have you ever had this moment where you say something, you're like, oh, where did that come from? You know where it came from? Our heart. It came from my heart. It's like, oh, I slipped out, I didn't mean that, but oh, it's in there. So it's one thing to go to work on our speech, and that's important, but it's even more important to go to work on our heart, because life is flowing out of our heart. Turn around, turn to your neighbor and say, your life's flowing out of your heart. All right, Melbourne, you did well. So here's the thing. What's in your heart, the condition of your heart will actually be a key determining factor in the condition of your relationships. And you've heard the expression, birds of a feather flock together. So if we're negative, if we're down on stuff, it's like we put out this something into the atmosphere that attracts negative people. Sometimes if we're emotionally unhealthy, and what we do is only ever talk about ourselves, and when we interact with someone like that and they're just talking a monologue after a monologue, after a while people just back away and we go, why? The people aren't very friendly around here. Well, maybe that it's what's going on in my heart. I need to work on my heart. All right, so I want to talk about three practices this morning, three habits of being emotionally healthy. Three daily habits of being emotionally healthy. Are you ready for these? All right, so the first one is practice thankfulness. Hey, I'm going to give you all three and then we'll spin back to them. So the first one is practice thankfulness. I'll explain why that's so important for a healthy heart. The second one is process negative emotions well. That's going to be fun. Process negative emotions well. And the third one is pour into your heart the love of God. Pour into your heart the love of God. So practice thankfulness. Thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18 says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is the will of God. I used to sing this as a kid. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." So I love it when you learn scripture. So you go, what's God's will for my life? What should I do? Well, there's one thing. Give thanks in everything. You're like, "Pastor, you don't know what's happening in my life. How can I give thanks? How can I find something?" There's always something to be thankful about. It's a posture of our mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing." Kat read it out here this morning. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." Everybody say, "With thanksgiving." "With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Emotional health comes from giving our prayers to God. We'll talk about that in a moment, but with thanksgiving, the practice of thanksgiving. So what's a good way to practice thanksgiving? I'm not sure what you do. Some people have a thankfulness journal. Have we got anyone with a thankfulness journal here? I've got two notes that are saved in my iPhone and iPad, and pretty much I would say 2 to 3 times a week I would go into these two notes. One is my practice, my thankfulness, and one is my processing negative emotions. I try to keep my thankfulness one bigger than my processing negative emotions if I can. And so literally a few times a week, I'll go in and I'll just go, "So thankful." I'll do one. "So thankful for a wedding on Friday. Melbourne, we had our PA got married on Friday. So thankful for a beautiful wedding. So thankful for young people in the house of God. So thankful for true love. So thankful to be a part of people's lives." And I'll have a little photo in there. And so what I'll do periodically, if I find I'm getting overwhelmed by negativity, one of the things I'll do is I'll just go and read through my thankfulness notes for the year. "Oh my gosh, God, you did this." And there's photos that might be holidays or people or experiences. And this habit of practicing thankfulness, Pastor Phil Pringle calls it this, thankfulness is the air conditioner of the soul. So if it's getting a little stuffy in there, maybe it's time for some thankfulness. This is why the Bible tells us, it teaches us the way into God's presence. It literally is, you enter His gates with thanksgiving. You enter His courts with praise. So even God doesn't want you just coming in all negative and grumpy into His presence. Now there's room in His presence for processing negative emotions. We'll talk about that. But there's like a keypad on the gates to get into heaven. And you know what the code is? Thankfulness. You put it in. You go through the gates. Now, thankfulness can be about Jesus, that you're born again, that you're loved by God, that you're going to spend eternity. There's always something. And what it is, it's a reposition our mind. Instead of looking down at my problems, instead of focusing on my anxieties, I'm lifting up my eyes and making a choice to be thankful. So thankfulness, you'll find after a while, if you get in the habit of being, you're like, "Oh, if your kids are driving you crazy, parents, start being thankful for them. If your spouse is driving you crazy, start." Well, that was a big yes and amen, Kat. Wow. If your spouse, I hope that wasn't your moment, Dan Frecker, when you said "so good," when your spouse is driving you crazy. If your spouse is driving you crazy, start being thankful for them. Start thanking them for the things that they're doing in your life. If your pastor's driving you crazy, for those of you who are visiting, if you're here, start thanking God for them. Just be thankful. Thankfulness is a posture. that repositions a heart that can easily be overwhelmed. That's the first one. The second habit, so practicing thankfulness, is process negative emotions well. Process negative emotions well. Okay, I would say that this has probably been one of my biggest growth points in the last decade or so. I'm a negative emotion avoider. I don't want to be near negative emotions. I want happy people and happy thoughts. I want buoyant things. And so you know, the problem if you don't get comfortable with negative emotions, because they're real and they're there, and here's the difficulty with, there's two risks when it comes to negative emotions. One is you pretend they're not there and ignore them and stuff them down. That's called suppression. So when you suppress your emotions, when you suppress your negative emotions, you know what? That's not a strategy that's going to deal with them. They're still there. They're stuffing up your heart. They're blocking you up. You're getting emotionally constipated. That's a bad picture. But anyway, okay, come over. So what's going on is when you pretend, you know, and sometimes Christians can be the worst because we're like, oh, it's all good. But it's not all good. The Bible says God causes all things to work together for good. But he doesn't say everything that then happens to you is good. It's just that he can take it and he can turn it around and work it for good. So it's not all good. So how do we go when it's not all good? And so we don't want to suppress, because if you suppress, then it's going to come out. It's going to come out in your physical body. It's going to come out in a reaction in a moment. You're like, oh, where did that come from? Well, I know where, suppressed emotions. It's going to come out with critical thoughts. It's going to come about with self-judgment. It's going to come out with depression. It's going to come out with discouragement. So if you don't process negative emotions, that's one way. You suppress them. And it's going to ultimately, it's like a weight that's going to just hold you down. So imagine that's what's going on. Because all of us, we live life, stuff goes on, stuff goes wrong. There's negative stuff. So we've got to grieve well. We've got to face difficult things and acknowledge them. Okay, now that's one risk as we suppress them. The other is we just spend our life swimming in them. We're like, you know, we become like Eeyore. Everything's so bad. It's terrible. That's why we've got to swing back to practicing thankfulness. So we don't just spend all our time in negativity, because no one wants to spend a lot of time with someone who's just overflowing with negativity, right? Because it'll damage relationships. So what have we got? How do we process well? Well, I want to give you three things, and I will shout out my beautiful wife. She's very much helped me in this area of processing negative emotions. Acknowledging them is a starting place. Acknowledging that hurt. What they said, that hurt. This is stressful, what's happening right now. This is stressful. Now, I used to have a problem saying I'm stressed. I'd be like, no, I've just got things on my mind. But I felt like saying I'm stressed was weakness. But I realized that actually recognizing that I've got negative emotions is not weakness, it's emotional health. Okay? Oh, yeah. So David is the expert. David, so the first way you can process negative emotions is journal. If you like writing, journal. One of the men's health movements globally, one of the key strategies of the men's health movement, Christian and unsaved, is journaling. It's the ability to journal. Listen to some journaling by David. Psalms is filled with someone's journaling out their emotional pain. This is Psalm 55. Listen to my prayer, O God. Don't ignore my cry for help. Okay, he's getting real with God. This is what he does. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and they angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. He's got anxiety going on. The terror of death assaults me. Everything's falling apart. This is David, the mighty worshiping warrior. Everything's falling apart. Threats and cheating are rampant in the streets. It's not even just an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It's not my foes who so arrogantly insult me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it's you, my equal. Now, he's moved from talking to God to start writing a letter to an ex-friend. It's you, my equal, my companion and close friends. We with what good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. And basically his friends betrayed him. And now he's getting a little like, okay, this is how I feel. Let death stalk my enemies. Oh, you're like, you can't say that to God. You've got to love everybody. No, he's processing his negative emotions. Let the grave swallow them alive. Come on, here's some permission for someone's journaling. For evil makes its home within them. All right, and that's all he did. Don't write big, long letters like that. Don't post them on social media, okay? We're talking about this is emotional health processing through journaling. And then eventually, verse 16, but I will call on God and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress and the Lord hears my voice. So he's writing. So when you read the Psalms, you'll realize a lot of what's going on here is David is processing negative emotions. He's getting them out. And a great way to get them out is to write. So I have a couple of those a week. I would just like, oh, there's stuff on my mind. I want to process this healthily. Another way to do it, if you're not a writer, or you can do this, is to pray. Danielle has got this scripture that she uses in her prayer every day. It's Psalm 55, verse 22. Bring all your cares and anxieties to the feet of the Lord. Bring them to Him. Another version of the Bible says, cast your cares, cast them upon God. God, I've got this burden, this problem in my work with our finances, and I'm casting it onto you. I'm getting it off me. Bring them to Him, and measureless grace will strengthen you. So the Lord knows what's going on in your heart. Be real with Him. Be real with God. Don't pretend you have to filter your prayer to God. Be unfiltered with God to get that emotion out. It's amazing what will happen when you get that emotion out. The third thing is to talk to the right person. So we are acknowledging that there's negative emotions, and so we're journaling it, we're praying it out, and then we find someone to talk to. This is Jesus, what he did. Jesus is going to the cross, Matthew 26, 37 and 38. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And so he grabbed these disciples. So he grabbed his inner core and said, guys, come with me. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus didn't go, I've got this on my own. He's like, okay, I've got 12 friends, but there's a couple of really close ones who they're my phone a friend friends. Stuff's going down in my life and I need to be able to talk to somebody about this. For many of us, we have the joy that our partner is our phone a friend and we can share what's on our mind and our stressors. A couple of weeks ago, I had a situation as a global leader in a church that was really messing with me and affecting my sleep and bouncing around in my head. And so I just knew, I journaled it out, but that was one level of getting it out. And Danielle was on break, so I couldn't talk to her about it. So I just, one of my phone a friend friends is Greg French, a great pastor in C3. So I just put in a call to Greg. I said, Greg, I need a very confidential conversation with you. I need to get something out of my heart and my mind that's bouncing around a lot. And if I don't get it out, I'm going to be on a mental treadmill and an emotional treadmill, and I'm going to get exhausted by thinking this over and over and over. So I just told him the story, took about 7 minutes. I told him what I'd done. He's like, okay, you actually did the right thing. That was great. And literally, I talked it out. He prayed for me and literally in my thankfulness journal the next morning, I wrote, how amazing was it to share that stressful situation with my friend Greg, and for him to pray for me and for the shift of pressure out of my heart in a moment. So you only need two or three, which is why getting into a connect group is a great place to be in church, because it might not be all your connect group, but there just might be those two or three people who can be your phone a friend when things hit the fan. Okay, so that's the next one. Process negative emotions well. The last one, here we go, last 2 minutes. You're doing all right there, Melbourne. We're ready. We're gonna practice some of this in just a moment when we hand back to Ebony. The third thing is to let Him pour in His love. So we're talking about our heart. We're practicing thankfulness. Think of it like this. If your heart is like a garden, and so you and I are responsible for our heart. We're responsible to plant good thoughts, to get treasure into our heart. We're responsible to weed Now, I don't know about you, we've got some gardens, and you don't have to plant weeds. They just grow. But you do have to be resilient at pulling them out. Like all the time, you're pulling out weeds, right? That's negative emotions. You don't have to plant them. They're just going to come. So we've got to be quite focused on, okay, I'm going to deal with this. Part of the healing journey for many people is actually, sometimes we can have a lifetime of negative emotions that we've suppressed and ignored. And to get to an emotionally healthy place, which is the foundation of good relationships, we've got to go on a emotional health journey of facing the negative emotions in our life. Maybe that's seeing a counselor. That could be who you talk to. But there's this journey. So it's guarding your heart, being a gardener of your heart. And part of this, water and fertilizer for the garden of your heart is the love of God. Romans 5 verse 5 says this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When you become a follower of Jesus, when you become a Christian, there'll be a moment for you in a few moments. If you don't have a relationship with God, you can begin a relationship with God here today. And one of the marks of God, the signatures of God, is that he is love. And so when you encounter God, he doesn't pour judgment in. He's poured judgment on Jesus at the cross, so we don't have to be judged. He pours love in. He pours love into our heart. And it's like a liquid love. It's like this beautiful, it's often tangible, it's physical, it brings peace. And so one of the things God wants to do in your life and in my life, every day, is to pour his love into your heart. Every day, he wants to. This is why having a quiet time, having some time set aside to pray is not about a ticking a religious box. One of the main reasons I want to set time aside to be with God in the morning is because I need his love to pour into my heart. I need to feel his presence. I need to hear the whisper of my heavenly Father say, I love you and I'm proud of you. And when God's love pours into your heart, here's what changes. You don't become someone running around looking for everybody else to encourage you and say nice things about you because you heard it from God. You don't get bombarded with critical thoughts about everybody else because God, you've forgiven and released pain and you're getting filled with the love. Your identity is secure. Emotional health is about getting a secure identity about who your heavenly Father says you are. He delights in you. He loves you. He's smiling over you. He's for you. Can we close our eyes and pray right now? In a few moments, we're going to open up the altar in Melbourne and on the sunny coast, and the opportunity will be to really allow God to pour his love in and to let God wash out negative emotions. Often when we come to church and we experience the presence of God, many people begin to cry. I don't know why. Well, what's happening is God's pouring his love in and he's washing out negative emotions, washing out pain. So Father, for every person here on the sunny coast, every person in Melbourne, every person watching online, I pray today that we'd be emotionally healthy people. Emotionally healthy people. That our heart would be full of your love. That we would practice thankfulness every day. And Holy Spirit, you'd help us to deal with the pain, the disappointments, the frustrations. You would help us to deal with those things in a healthy way, not a destructive way. So I ask this morning, as we spend time in prayer, that you'd pour your love out into every person in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. C3 Powerhouse, Melbourne East. I'm going to hand you back to Ebony. God bless you.